So the other day, I go over, I get up early, I'm going to go work out. Started working out again. And so I go to work out real early. And then afterwards, I'm hungry because I hadn't eaten breakfast. So I decide, I'm going to go over to the McDonald's. So I go into McDonald's. I know all of you love me eating at those kind of places. I go into McDonald's. I love their hotcakes and sausage. They're healthy, right? Pile them out with butter and a little bit of milk. So I go in to eat my hotcakes, and I sit down, and a little bit further over, there's some guys sitting, and they're talking, five or six guys. You've seen them in your McDonald's or Burger King. You know, they go in the morning, they have their coffees, and they just kind of sit and talk forever. So all these guys are over there sitting talking, and you know, I'm kind of listening because they're getting my ear. It's five or six guys talking to this one guy, and these five or six guys are all religious. You can tell by the conversation. And this one guy is an atheist. And all these guys are trying to talk to this atheist about Jesus, which they had no idea even who Jesus was. Remember, I said they were religious, but they didn't know Christ. I mean, one guy was talking about how the Lord made the heavens and the earth, but Jesus did not, that they're two separate people. The other guy was talking about how all ministers are a bunch of hypocrites. And I'm sitting there eating my, you know, my hotcakes. And they're talking to this other guy, and this other guy's clearly an atheist. They're trying to get him to believe the Bible. And, I mean, they're all over the place. They had no idea even how to talk to this guy. And this guy finally said to them, he said, "Have you ever heard of Dick Tracy?" All the religious guys said, "Yeah, we heard of Dick Tracy." He said, "Well, there's my proof the Bible's not true." Now they really got my interest. And this guy's sitting over, and he says, "Yeah, Dick Tracy." He said, "Someone wrote about Dick Tracy, but he's not true. Somebody wrote about Jesus, and he's not true." And these guys are sitting there saying, "What in the world are you talking about?" Well, by that time, I'm done with my pancakes. And I'm sitting there through this whole conversation, and I'm saying, there's six of them, they're in their 70s and 80s, and I'm sure the last person they wanted to talk to was a preacher. And I'm sitting there praying, "Lord, give me the courage. Give me the courage to go talk to these guys. You know, God, I got to talk to these guys. God, I know you're moving in my heart to talk to these guys about Jesus. You know, I just got to go over there. Lord, help me." And, you know, I'm trying to do that while the pancakes are going down. They were really good pancakes. McDonald's makes great pancakes. I'm telling you. You got to go have. Just skip the sausage. Although that's good, too. I skipped the sausage that morning, by the way. So I said, I'm going to do it. I threw the food in the garbage can. And I went over and I said, "Hey, guys," I said, "do you mind if I break into your conversation?" And they said, "Well, you know, why?" I said, "Well, I heard you guys talking about, one of you guys said that all ministers are hypocrites. I want you to know, all ministers are not hypocrites." And there was silence. And they said, "Well, who are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm the pastor of the church that's 3 miles down on Kaiser Avenue, Open Door Baptist Church." I said, "I just want you to know, not all ministers are hypocrites." "Oh, we never said that." And the other guy said, "No, he said it." Oh, it was funny. So we started talking to these guys, and finally, I'm really trying to get through them. And guess who I was reaching? The atheist. The atheist finally said, he said to all these other guys sitting there, he said, "You know what? He's making sense." And the guy that was on his back the most, he turned to that guy and he said, "You know what?" He said, "If you go to church with me on Sunday, I'll go to his church." And the religious guy said, "I was born in the first church. And that's the only real church. And I don't go to any church but that church. And since I was born in that church, I'll die in that church, and I'm not going anywhere else." And that was the end of the opportunity to get the atheist to church. So I want you to know, I'm going to eat some more pancakes sometime just so I can run into those guys. You know, when you look at history, the people Jesus had most problem with were the religious people. And it was the religious people who were the most vocal in having Jesus crucified. And I want you to know there's a world of religious people out there that are dying and going to hell. And I want you to know there's a world of all kinds of people who are dying going to hell. My neighbor one time told me, he said, "I don't want you to talk about Jesus anymore." And I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "If you keep talking about Jesus, I'm no longer going to be your friend." And I said, "If I don't tell you about Jesus, then I'm not your friend." In a few weeks, we have what we usually have every September. We have Friend Day. Friend Day is an opportunity for you to invite your friends to church to hear about Jesus. To hear how, let them hear how they could have a relationship with Christ. We have that coming up in a couple of weeks, and it's an opportunity for you to do that because, you know, sometimes your friends aren't going to come to church, but if you walk up to them and say, "You know what? I'm having Friend Day at my church. I don't have any friends. And I'm going to be embarrassed if I'm the only guy or gal there without a friend. So won't you come with me?" Some of you may have to do that. But no, seriously. Do you know someone who's dying and going to hell? Do you know someone who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? Friend Day gives you the opportunity to invite him to church so they could hear about him. Oh, you know, on Friend Day, I'm going to talk about love. I'm going to begin a series in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to go and we're going to go through the whole thing. We're going to talk about what love is, and we're going to start it on Friend Day. But I want you to know this morning, there are some reasons why we're having Friend Day. And there are some reasons why I went over to those guys who were sitting there having coffee and just, you know, kind of going back and forth. There was a reason why I went and talked to them. And there is a reason, if you have someone in your family who does not have a relationship with Jesus, why you ought to talk to them. In fact, there are several reasons. This morning, I want to fly through some of them. I want to give you some God-given reasons why you ought to witness. God-given reasons why you ought to witness. And let me explain what witnessing is. Witnessing is simply going to somebody else and telling them about Jesus. It's telling them that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again, and he did it for their sin, and he did it for our sin. And that if you will place your faith in what Jesus did on that cross, you can have a relationship with God and eternal life through Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sin. Why should we do that? Number one, God has commanded you. God has commanded you to witness. Kibby read this before, Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse, I'm going to begin in verse 19. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has," verse 18, "has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." God has commanded us to go into the world and tell people about Jesus. You know what people say when they are religious like these guys I met? They say, "You know what, I don't like to talk about two things, politics and religion." Whenever anyone tells me that, I know they do not know Jesus. Whenever anyone says to me, "You know what, my faith is personal, my religion is personal," it tells me they do not know Jesus. Because the Bible says that we are to take our relationship with Christ, and we are to go out into this entire world and tell them that without Jesus, they're going to hell. But with Jesus, they can have forgiveness of all their sin. Through Jesus Christ, we could have a relationship with him. I want you to, God has commanded it. God has said, "Look, I want you to go and tell people about Jesus." And when they come to Christ, I want you to baptize them. And as they begin to walk in that Christian life, I want you to teach them. And notice he says, don't just teach them so they'll be smarter about the Bible. Teach them so they will obey. How do you know you have a mature Christian? You know you have a mature Christian when they're being obedient to God's word. You know, you walk in so many churches, you don't even bring in a Bible. You walk in so many religious homes, they don't have a Bible. Except maybe a family Bible that sits on the table and gathers dust. That is not Christianity. God has commanded you. Are you being obedient to God? You know, sometimes I just don't think we hear. Have you this past week talked to someone about Jesus? This past month? This past year? Have you gone out into your family or community and told them that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for their sin? And if they place their faith in the gospel, that good news, they could have life in Jesus' name. Have you said that? Talk to someone about them. If you haven't, you are not being obedient to God. I had someone ask me this past week, this pastor, I want so bad to do what God wants me to do. I want so bad to be obedient to Jesus and to get the message to this world. I want to do it so bad. But he said, you know what? Work takes up so much of my time. How can I do it? And I wrote back and said, you know what? If you're in the job that God wants you in, and if you have prayed about it, and God has led you to the job you have, and if you're in that job and you're doing that job faithfully, and while you're doing that job, you're telling others about Jesus, you're being absolutely doing what God wants you to do. And you know what? You're just as faithful as I am in being where God wants you to be. God has commanded us. It's like God came into your living room and said, you know, Cesar, why don't you go tell people about Jesus? It's like God came into Martin's living room. Said, Martin, sit down. Don't eat. Go tell someone about Jesus. God has commanded you to talk to others about Christ. Are you being obedient? Let me ask you, how many of your friends may end up in hell because you didn't take that opportunity to tell them about Christ? God has commanded us. Number two, God has filled us. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Notice in verse 14, Paul writes, Christ's love compels us. Do you know that God has filled you with his love? Very moment that you ask Christ to be your Savior, God filled you with his love. I wonder, are you responding to that love? Here's the way you can find out if you are. If you look around at this world and you see all of its sinfulness and rottenness and ugliness, you sit back and say, you know what, God? Strike them all dead. Or do you sit back and say, God, help me to find a way to reach them. God, help me to find a way to tell them about Jesus. God, help me to find a way to do what I know you want me to do. Paul said, look, Christ's love compels me. He says, I have to tell people about Jesus because God has put his love within me, and it compels me, it pulls me, it drags me to tell others about Jesus. And, you know, he said in another passage, he said, I know in every city I go in, trouble awaits. But he went anyway to tell them about Jesus because love was drawing him to tell people about Christ. What's God's love doing in your heart? Are you kind of pushing it way down into the side because you don't want it to do what you know what it's asking you to do? Are you ignoring it? Do you still have those hates and that anger you had before you were saved? Do you still have that animosity and you just kind of want to throw it out there? Or are you allowing God's love to change your heart and change your attitudes and really to reach out to people to tell them about Christ? God has filled you with his love. What's it doing in your life? Number three, because of the position that God has given you. Because of the position God has given you. Say right here in 2 Corinthians 5, and notice verse 18. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. He has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. If Jesus is your Savior, here's what this verse is saying. God is trying to reach out to this world. He wants this world to come to himself. He wants this world to receive his Son as their Savior. And he can do that by, you know, standing up in the sky, yelling with the loudest voice that would pierce all our ears and saying, everyone come to Jesus. But he chose not to do it that way. He said, no, I want the people that are at open door Sunday morning to go out to all their friends and neighbors and tell them about Jesus. Because I am going to make my appeal to their friends and their family and their coworkers. I am going to make my appeal through them. So that makes you his ambassador. He has given you a position. You are an ambassador. God is making his appeal to come to Jesus through you. Are you doing your job? Are others hearing about Jesus through you? Remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem that last time on the Day of Palms? And the religious leaders told him, get all your guys and tell them to shut up. And Jesus said, look, if these guys don't cry out, you know what's going to happen? The rocks are going to cry out. It was that kind of day. Today the rocks don't cry out. He wants us to. You say, well, I'm not really good about telling people about Jesus. Well, he still wants you to tell people about Jesus. He wants you to learn what the gospel is and how to tell others, but he wants you to tell people about Jesus. He wants you to live Jesus out in your life so people will see what is in your life and want to know more about the God you serve. How has God changed your life? How are you serving as that ambassador? He's making his appeal through you. Number four, God has given us an example. Because of the example God has given us. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. In verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, how'd that get in there? But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When he reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the man came to seek and to save what was lost." So we got the short little guy who couldn't see over the crowd. And he wants to see Jesus really bad. He climbs a tree where he can look down and see Jesus. Jesus looks up and says, "I'm staying at your house." In fact, he says, "I must stay at your house." Right then and there, Zacchaeus comes to Christ. He's just overwhelmed by the love and power of Jesus. Now, why don't you notice here, it says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. What are you doing? I mean, if we were to put your life all together, what are you doing? You might say, "Well, I'm building a big business." Well, that's okay. "Well, I'm working towards retirement." Well, that's all right. "Well, you know what? I'm trying to get good grades in school." Well, that's okay. But what's your life really about? I mean, is that your life? Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, we can do all those things, but still the main goal of our life to be to exactly what God has called us to do, and that's to tell people about Jesus. The example that Christ gave is an example of telling others about Jesus. To seek and to save that which was lost, so that others may go to heaven. We have that example in the early church. You know, you read the book of Acts, all they're doing is telling others about Christ. They're being beat up and thrown in jail. Some of them are dying and being martyred, but all they're doing is telling others about Jesus Christ. The Bible says the church grew and the church grew and the church grew and the church grew. You know how our churches grow today? We grow through what we call transfer growth. What people do in a town is they find the newest and most exciting church, and everybody leaves all the churches they're in, then they go to that church. And then as soon as that church begins to die, everybody leaves there and they go to the newest exciting church. We can sit back and say, "You know what, our seats are full," but why are they full? Are we winning people to Christ? Are lives being changed? We have the example of Christ of reaching out to the lost. Number five, because of what God said about the field. What God said about the field. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 27. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." What did Jesus say about the field? He said it's ripe for harvest. What does he mean by that? He means that there are many, many people on this earth who want to come to Christ, and we need to reach them and we need to find them. Now, in the vast majority, they are still the small. Because the road to Christ is narrow and only few find it. But yet, that does not mean there aren't many, many people looking for Christ or ready to hear about Jesus. Jesus said, "Look, the fields are white. They're ready for harvest." You know what we hear people saying all the time? "Oh, you know what? I tell people about Jesus, but nobody ever listens, so I'm not going to bother anymore. I've told my family 100 times, and they don't want to hear it anymore, so I've given up." Who out there needs to hear about Jesus, and you just need to open your eyes to find them? Tell them about Christ. Number 6, we need to get the gospel out because why God saved you. Because why God saved you. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 8. "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." God saved you to bear fruit. God wants you to go out and bear fruit. Now, one of the fruits that he's talking about here is sharing the gospel with other people. It's witnessing and seeing people come to Jesus. You should have been at my house yesterday. Decided yesterday, it's the first day of college football season, and I'm a big Penn State football fan, so I got out my Penn State shorts, I got out my Penn State shirt, I got out my Liberty University football, where you know I can put my peanuts and pretzels in, I got out my Mountain Dew, well, only partly, I had water too, and I plopped on the couch, and I didn't leave till that game was over. I mean, if you walked in my house, you would know that there's someone in that house that loves football. I got up a little bit after that, but then I went right back because there's some more games all throughout the day. So, I mean, yesterday for me, I'm watching football. I was excited, and it was great. What shows that you're a Christian? I mean, if you were in a crowd, what would stand out about you? If I were to ask this morning, how many of you have received Jesus as your Savior? Raise your hand. You have received Jesus as your Savior. All right, put your hands down. If I didn't ask that and I met you somewhere, would I know that? Would there be something about your life that would cause me to look at you and say, I think maybe. Yeah, I think that person's a Christian. And then you start talking about Jesus and say, that person is. What about your life shows that you are? Jesus said, look, you know, the thing that shows you are my disciples, you bear fruit. You're an apple tree. We see apples. You're a pear tree. We see pears. You're a Christian. Tell others about Jesus. It all goes together. Bearing fruit shows that you're a disciple of Christ. One last one. I'm not even going to have you turn there. I just want you to listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Why should we witness? It's because what God is going to do. God is going to do something. Can't tell you when. I can tell you where. It's in heaven. And I can tell you what. It's the judgment seat of Christ. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to go before God, and I don't know exactly how it's all going to be carried out, because it's all, every single Christian is going to have to do this. We're going to go, and we're going to stand before God, and God's going to look at us, and we're going to look at Him, probably prostrate on the ground. And He's going to look at our life. And He's going to say, all right, what have you done? I came down and I put my Son in your life. He changed your heart. He changed your soul. He gave you a relationship with me. He made sure you're going to heaven. Now, what did you do? You know, sometimes people come to a church and they join. And then they do nothing. We have a whole bunch of people right now that want to join our church. Scott gave me his and Susanna's this morning, and I joke with him. I said I didn't want it. But you know, sometimes people join a church and they don't do anything. Well, why'd you join? Yeah, if you're going to join a church, it means you want to do something. You want to be part of the body and help the body do what God's called it to do. You know, becoming a Christian is not just about getting to heaven. It is about doing everything God has commanded us. One day you will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, and God's going to say, have you been faithful? I hope, if you're not already doing it, that you will begin praying, as I did in McDonald's, that God will give you the courage and strength to invite someone you know to church that Sunday. Just a couple weeks away. And I hope that you will begin now, even today, telling others about Jesus so that they can come to know the God that you know. Let's pray. Father God, work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses. Help us, Father, to be good ambassadors. Help us, Lord, to be more concerned about your things than we are our things. So I pray, Lord, that we may reach out and tell others about Jesus Christ. And then the result will be that people will come to Jesus. Work in our hearts and lives, Father. I pray we'll see many friends on Friend Day. And that people will come to know your Son as their Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.